This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Back on What's On Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. Our gratitude to you for that. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Whether you're listening on the legendary 550 K-Fire, Bismarck Mandan, or AM 1100 The Flag, the 50,000-watt patriotic blowtorch of the Red River Valley, KTGO 1090, The Flag West, booming to the Bakken, and KLTC in Dickinson. Brought to you in part today by our friends at the Coalition for a Secure Energy Future. I always ask, think long and hard about what a secure energy future means. Think about a cold, cold winter night and no power. Not good. Think about a hot, hot summer day and no power. Good. Secure energy, very important to your family, to you, to your livelihood, to your business. And it's what these good folks in the lignite industry do in North Dakota. About 15,000 good-paying jobs, about $1 billion in personal income, about $3.4 billion in economic impact, and $100 million annually in taxes going into our state coffers. Learn more at the website for a Coalition for a Secure Energy Future. That's just SecureEnergyFuture.org, SecureEnergyFuture.org. We are at the University of Mary today because, as always, at the University of Mary, there's always something great going on. And this weekend is no exception. Their Vocations Jamboree is happening this weekend. The acclaimed Catholic columnist and author and biographer of St. John Paul II will be on campus today and for dinner this evening. And, of course, there's also a great deal of growth going on here, so we get a chance every month or so to catch up with Monsignor Patrick James Patrick Shea, Jim Shea, the Monsignor James Shea, president of the University of Mary, who joins us. You have many names, many titles. Good guy is what I put high on the list. How are you, sir?
Great to be with you this morning, Scott, and to be with all your listeners. It's a day of terrific excitement on the campus of the University of Mary. Our students' enthusiasm is at fever pitch. There's all sorts of things happening today. And as you said, George Weigel is arriving, and he's one of the leading public intellectuals in the United States. And today is an anniversary, not a small anniversary, but a great, big, amazing, and incredible anniversary. Today is the 70th anniversary of the founding of Annunciation Monastery. And so, you know, the sisters who founded the University of Mary and St. Alexius Medical Center and other entities of healthcare and education in western North Dakota, those sisters came here in 1878 to the prairies of Dakota Territory. But they were always dependent on, or they were always members of, St. Benedict's Monastery in St. Joseph, Minnesota, until 1947, on the feast of the Eve of the Annunciation. So the 24th of March, 1947, they received permission from Rome to found an independent foundation here on the prairies of North Dakota in the Diocese of Bismarck. And the sisters, this is a terrific story. It's a very amazing story. The sisters were asked to secretly volunteer, and they weren't supposed to consult with anybody else. They were supposed to consult just in prayer with God and discern whether God was calling them to come to western North Dakota. And so sisters discerned in quiet, and a bunch of them decided to come out here. Included among them were four sisters, Schweitzer sisters, from Halliday, North Dakota. Three of them decided to come, and one of them stayed back in Minnesota. We just buried the last of them last year, I think. And there are two of them who are left. Sister Elizabeth Novi and Sister Helen Kilzer are still with us 70 years later. And so it's a terrific anniversary here, the 70th anniversary of our sisters.
And what was the draw to North Dakota initially? How did it start? What was the need here that they were providing at St. Joseph, Minnesota, that was they were bringing here?
The word that you used is need. And that's what the sisters saw when they stepped off the train. In Bismarck, North Dakota, they saw terrific needs for education, for health care, for culture, for faith. And so they came to serve the needs of the people of this region because they saw needs. And that's how they've done it from the very beginning, and they're still doing it today.
if you had to pick a few highlights from the 70 years to say this is their contribution in meeting those needs, what would you say it'd be?
Well, I'd say the enormous expansion of healthcare in Western North Dakota in terms of St. Alexius and the various ministries of St. Alexius. And then, of course, Mary College was founded 12 years later. So they were founded in 1947. In 1959, they founded Mary College, and that's grown into the University of Mary. And so that's great. Ministry on the Margins is now a ministry here in Bismarck as well, founded by Sister Kathleen Atkinson, who's one of the Sisters of Annunciation Monastery. The presence of the sisters, the contribution that they've made to Western North Dakota and our culture is second to none. I don't know that any group of people have contributed to this region in as intentional a way as our sisters have across the span now of 70 years.
Do you think that the fact that there were members of the order from North Dakota that were there in Minnesota were part of the reason they knew that the need was here?
Absolutely. So, of course, it's an adage that you can have a lot of impact where you're from because you know the culture, you know the people, it's home. And so the sisters, many of them were from North Dakota. Others were from other places who volunteered to come here. But it's the case that many of them were from the prairies of North Dakota, and they already knew. They knew what the wind felt like. They knew what it looked like to see the sunsets and the breeze go through the wheat. They knew about the stars at night. They knew all about this place.
That's one thing I don't know that the folks realize. They see the Catholic Church as a church, just like other churches they see on different blocks. But the Catholic Church has quite a set of accomplishments when it comes to healthcare or to universities, right? In the world, really.
Right, but it all comes from the heart of God. In other words, it's not like we sit and we make a list of pros and cons. It's not like we say, well, as we look out, what would be most profitable? The sisters, when they founded Mary College, they didn't have the resources necessary to found a college. They didn't have what the world would say you need in order to make an enterprise like this successful. But it didn't matter because they sensed that God was calling them to do it. And that gave them their courage. And that gave them all of the pioneering spirit which allowed them to do what they've done. And so it's true that the church throughout the world has done extraordinary things for the benefit of humanity. But it's not. Mother Teresa used to talk about this all the time. People mistake us and say that we're humanitarians or that we're about it for a purely philanthropic interest. The fact of the matter is we're seeking to serve, to give our lives away in love. And in the midst of that, the world is made a better place.
And since we're in Lent, we can maybe give a little Lenten tip here because it's a great time to add a little listening time to your prayer, right? I mean, many of us babble with the wants and needs and desires and concerns and hurts and everything else. But listening, as you just described, led to what's happened here for the last 70 years, didn't it?
No, that's right. Listening is really important. In fact, the rule of St. Benedict, which is the rule that our sisters follow, the first word of it is listen.
Yeah, so a good little reminder there. The Vocations Jamboree is happening.
Mm-hmm.
What is a vocation?
Well, a vocation, it comes from the Latin word vocatus, which means to have been called. And so it's a calling that arises in the human heart from God because our lives are not our own. Our lives are gifts that are given to us, meant to be given away. And so as a result, we feel a particular need, a particular responsibility at a place like the University of Mary to ensure that when we receive students who are on the doorstep of life, who are 18 years old, 19, 20, 21, when we receive those students, that we're assisting them to listen to the call of God in their hearts, that each of them has an adventure that they're meant to set out and find, not just to make up on their own, but really to set up and find as an odyssey of discovery, really. And so that vocation, which is within their hearts, that vocation, which is what they were created to do, is something which we feel a responsibility to assist them in finding. And so we want to create at the University of Mary what we call a culture of vocations. You know, culture eats strategy for breakfast. You've heard that before, right? And so if you can form a culture about something, if you can really shape the hearts and minds such that there's almost a subconscious ethos or an aura about a place in which people are really all around you, people are your age, your peers are thinking seriously, how can I give my life away? How can I be generous with the work of my hands and the energy of my heart? How can I do this? If that question is constantly being asked, it's easier for people to see themselves into that mindset so that they're not giving in to sort of a narcissistic or self-centered vision or view of their lives.
And it's not always to the priesthood or to an order or to be a deacon or whatever. A vocation can be many ways to serve.
Well, sure. And, of course, the most common vocation is the vocation to the married life, the call to married life.
To be family. A father, to be a wife. To
That's
be
right.
A,
is the most common of vocations. And so we believe that that it's a matter of training the students and making available to them pathways of generosity.
I want to talk a little bit about, you know, just the different things that will be part of the Jamboree this weekend when we come back, and then we'll tell you a little bit about some exciting news related to the School of Engineering at the University of Mary. Touched on this briefly. We really haven't had a chance to get under the hood a lot. We will today with Monsignor Shea, President of the University of Mary, live from the University of Mary today on What's On Your Mind. Don't go away.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's On Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
MBI Energy Services is hiring. A career with MBI lets you enjoy excellent pay, great benefits, and a variety of work schedules that best meet your family's needs. Join our team at MBI Energy Services. Go to MBIEnergyServices.com or on their Facebook page to find out about today's listings of great career opportunities. With hundreds of companies operating in the oil fields, why should you choose MBI? It's the best. MBI Energy Services. Tell them Scott sent you.
Central Steel Building and Construction is your premier source for GSI grain bins, GSI grain dryers, and GSI grain handling equipment. Central Steel also offers livestock water, welding supplies, and a variety of gears, pulleys, plus bulk bolts and nuts. Call Central Steel today for your GSI grain storage, material handling, and grain drying needs. 701-652-2886. Central Steel Building and Construction in Carrington. Online at grainstuff.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Troy Oglem of Northwood. Backed by popular demand, the North Dakota Soybean Council is sponsoring a See for Yourself program to Portland, Oregon, July 11th through the 14th, for North Dakota soybean producers to see their checkoff dollars at work. Learn about checkoff investment in rail and water transportation, soy biodiesel, agricultural advocacy training, and tour shipping ports where North Dakota soybeans leave for Asia. Experience firsthand the systems in which North Dakota Soybean Council invests to ensure market stability for your soybeans. If selected, airfare, lodging, and most meals will be reimbursed. North Dakota soybean farmers are invited to apply to participate in this See for Yourself program by April 17th. Log on to ndsoybean.org and apply today.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an Indy hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each Indy hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indy hammered knives. Custom knives. Made in America.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations with Publix Supermarkets. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States? Or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me and Publix for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Eats strategy for breakfast. That was the line, right, Monsignor?
That's right, but it's not from me. I don't. It might be Peter Drucker. It was somebody. It was somebody smart.
It's a good one, though. It's a darn good one. Mm-hmm. Just a good example of how even in anything you do in your workplace and whatever you set out to do, that the culture is really more important than we got to make a better widget than they do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because if you set the culture, you get the culture right, the strategy will sort of take care of itself because you have the right stock of folks doing what they need to do.
You got it.
Brad Berry, the coach of the UND hockey team, was on with us earlier this week, and they have a big game this afternoon against Boston University at Shields Arena. And he was talking about the culture of the hockey team and about how they, you know, and I don't think people sometimes think of culture. They think, you know, you're going to win or you're going to not win, and, you know, you have more, you know, of this than that, and then you win. So I'll send them that line as a little pep talk later today, right before game time.
No, I think that's a great idea. I'm always willing to build up other universities and the work that they're doing with the...
At least until you get a hockey team at UMary.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. You got it. That's right.
Then we might have to hold them a little closer to the vest.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. No, so this culture of vocations that we're trying to build, though, it's just such an exciting thing, and our students take to it because they're dying to give their lives away. In other words, it really is there to point in their lives where they're really wondering seriously about what's going to happen, what they're supposed to do, why am I here, what was I created for, all of these things. And so it's a terrific opportunity for them. Now we have more than 40 religious orders and service organizations who are on our campus, who are in the field house, in the brand new field house that we just opened in January. And it's a wonderful, it's really a spectacular opportunity because they can spend all day talking to people from sea to shining sea who are doing all sorts of work in every area of the mission field, in every area of human need that's being met. And so we have people from the Bronx who deal with deep poverty there. We've got people who are teaching orders in international organizations. We've got groups like the Fellowship of Catholic University Students or Christ in the City who do even evangelization or work with the homeless. It's really amazing.
Some of these attendees, we'll hear from George Weigel tonight in this dinner for the Jamboree that is happening, the Vocations Jamboree. Talk about George Weigel a little bit. What do you like best about him?
Well, George Weigel, he's one of the leading public intellectuals in the United States. And those of us who know him a little bit joke that he doesn't have an unpublished thought. He's the type of person who really writes about everything that he's thinking about. And he was president, I think, of the Ethics and Public Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. until the mid-90s. He's a signatory of Catholics and Evangelicals Together, and so he's done a lot of ecumenical work as well, interfaith dialogue, those types of things. And George, in the mid-90s, was asked by Pope John Paul II to write his official biography, which Witness to Hope. It's a very large and a very extraordinary biography, which chronicles really not just the history of one life, but the history of the 20th century, all through, because, of course, John Paul II, as a young priest, was involved in all sorts of things, the rise of the Nazis, the rise of the communists in his native Poland, all of those things. And so Weigel wrote this great the premier biography of John Paul II, and it's an astonishing opus, so to speak. And he's done many other works as well. And I met him when I was a student at the North American College in Rome. So he was over there, and he would go down in the afternoons to the Apostolic Palace, and he would meet with the Pope, and he would come back and have supper with us. So it was an amazing time.
So you got to hear some of the stories firsthand.
Yeah, that's right. And then we saw him in print later on.
So the Pope, John Paul, at the time Pope, says, "Hey, George, would you help me write the biography?"
Well, I think that there had been informal conversations between George and others, maybe Cardinal Ratzinger and the press office of the Vatican and those kinds of things. But at a certain point, John Paul II had heard that there was an interest on Weigel's part in doing that, and he asked him to do it.
Oh. So what do you think we'll hear tonight?
Well, he's coming out with a new book called My Unexpected Life. I think the subtitle is My Unexpected Life with St. John Paul II. And so I think that George Weigel, first of all, he'll likely offer some thoughts about some of the political upheaval of the last year or year and a half. In other words, he keeps his eye, his finger on the pulse of all sorts of things. And he usually has something really thoughtful to say about the machinations of civil society and politics and those kinds of things. But in the midst of all of that, he'll very likely offer some personal memories from his time writing the biography of one of the great figures of the 20th century.
Yeah, great to have him on campus.
It's amazing.
Certainly a wonderful accomplishment and part of the second annual Vocations Jamboree that will be happening here. Also want to ask you about the University of Mary opening a School of Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And this vision that continues to unfold on this beautiful hill south of Bismarck. Explain the vision behind the University of Mary going this route.
Well, so when we were doing planning for Vision 2030 a couple of years ago, there were all sorts of ideas, because the point was that North Dakota had reached a point of inflection in which it was vital that we, who have been a longtime sort of communal citizen of North Dakota, the University of Mary has been here since 1959. Our sisters have been here since 1878. And so it was important that we thought carefully about what the future looked like and how we could better serve the needs of the people of this region moving forward. We've talked with you, Scott, about so many of the different initiatives of Vision 2030. And one of the most surprising for me was engineering, because when the idea came up in all of the conversations, I have to say with all humility that I was against it. I thought, well, this isn't what we do. The University of Mary is amazing at healthcare. We do education. We have a school of business. We have the strong liberal arts. But engineering isn't something that we've ever done. And I said, gosh, everybody, we need to kind of stick with our knitting here. And we've got tremendous schools of engineering just down the interstate from us. And so why would we want to compete with them? Why would we want to build something from scratch like this? And then the people who were there said, you know, Father, you don't know nothing about nothing. they said, you don't know what you're talking about in this respect. They said, first of all, the University of Mary is bringing epic numbers of students from out of state to study here, and we want to keep them in Western North Dakota. Engineering is one of the fastest growing fields, and in fact, the average age of an engineer is above 55, meaning that there's going to be a retirement bubble that's coming up relatively quickly, and we need to fill the ranks in terms of workforce needs. The engineering needs in Western North Dakota are very great. Oftentimes, students will be hired by the places where they do their internships, and so being able to have an engineering program allows for workforce concerns to be addressed. And they said, most of all, we need engineers who are culturally prepared for the workplace, who understand how to come into an organization and contribute. And I said, well, wow, we know how to do that. That last thing, I know that we know how to do that. And so we looked at the numbers, and we realized that we were getting upwards of 700 inquiries a year just for engineering for a program that we didn't even have. Mm-hmm. And so we launched with almost – we didn't advertise at all. All we did was announce it last fall, and we already got 45 in our incoming class.
Amazing. All right, we'll finish on that when we come back. Other topics to tackle as well on What's On Your Mind, so stay tuned. A wonderful opportunity to chat with Monsignor James Shea right here from the University of Mary. Don't go away. More after this.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
A familiar smile as you walk in the door. A handshake accompanied by a warm hello. Full service attention to all of your financial needs. It's what you expect from First International Bank and Trust. From personal to business banking, our professionals provide the perfect solution to any financial situation. First International Bank and Trust has been banking locally and responsibly for over 100 years. We give you the best personal attention to help you find your perfect financial solution. With flexible banking options like online banking and mobile and tablet apps, your money can be everywhere you are. You can even deposit checks with your phone using Mobile Check Deposit. When you worry less about money, you have more time to live first. Visit us online or stop by any of our convenient locations. Get what you have come to expect. First International Bank and Trust. Live first. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
When a storm causes power loss for a whole day, it can seem endless. There's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power for not just days, but for months or longer. Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. And CENTCOM General Lloyd Austin says it's not a question of if, but when. That's why Americans are rushing to secure solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. And the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all. Portable and lightweight, providing up to 1500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. If a blackout strikes, you'll have power for heat, lights, cell phones and computers, and critical medical devices, all from the rechargeable solar power. Our first introduction sold out fast, and with high demand, we can't guarantee keeping the supply in stock. Stay protected with the power you need. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. Right now, enjoy our special easy pay option. Just go to blackout27.com. That's blackout27.com. Blackout27.com.
For an answer on why I had to scrape the front of my windshield and the back, Todd. Have you figured that out yet? We got a couple of
high humidity and a temperature below 32.
Oh, is that right? Okay, yeah. You have all the facts on that. All right, that isn't like a benchmark.
It happens. Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. My aching back right now is part of how it happened. I'm just telling you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm glad you didn't do the stereotypical thing of turning the defroster on high and just driving until you could see.
If I would have had the time, I would have done that. But I did the right thing. I scraped away. So that part
there
was,
you go. Good.
That part was over.
Way to go. Scott Hennon, everybody.
Exactly right. Brought to you in part this hour by the energy of North Dakota. We want jobs, right? A lot of jobs, good paying jobs, you bet. Blue collar, white collar, sledgehammers, programmers, the whole thing. We want bustling main streets and more savings and careers that keep the next generation reaching high and putting down roots. With all of the technologies, all the innovations that are producing North Dakota oil and natural gas right now, all of that, everything is possible. The jobs, the bustling main streets, the savings, the careers that keep the next generation reaching high and putting down roots, all possible for our state and for our nation. We're making it happen with the energy of North Dakota, bringing you today's What's on Your Mind, live from the University of Mary. Well, our final segment today, we have some more tallies on how you would vote on the health care reform bill. That's supposed to happen midday today, how you would vote. So let us know. Legislature update Monday. Also, we have an interview with Roger Stone of the New York Times, New York Times bestselling author, longtime political advisor and friend to Donald Trump. He's written a book about Donald Trump and how he orchestrated the revolution. So we're doing that. We're doing a little farm safety as well. On the program, we'll talk a little safety, which we love doing for our friends at the North Dakota Safety Council and WSI. And I think I mentioned earlier, I'm hitting the road, too, later in the week, be at the Auction Center of North America in Stegall on Wednesday. And we'll also be out in Watford City on Friday for the the ribbon cutting of that law enforcement center. They've done the shovels. Now they're open. Now the fruits of everybody's labor will be happening. More with Monsignor Shate at the University of Mary today on What's on Your Mind. We're talking about the School of Engineering before the break here a little bit in the vision. And so clearly the need was there. It took off. When we talk Vision 2030, where do you see, what role will the School of Engineering play in meeting the workforce needs of this region and also the University of Mary?
Right. So we took in 45 freshmen who are studying engineering this year. And so we're putting the school together, putting the curriculum together, putting the programs together, seeking accreditation. We need to renovate some space to build labs. All of those things are in the works. If that happens, and it will happen, we're working on it, it's going to happen. If that happens, in 2020, when we graduated our first class, conservatively speaking, we'll have about 20 new engineers that will graduate. And then we'll be adding about 10 a year after that. And so by 2030, when we reach Vision 2030, we'll be probably graduating around 100 or so or more engineers every year, which will be a terrific boon to the workforce in Western North Dakota.
Workforce right now, today, is probably the number one issue that we don't spend a lot of time talking about. HR folks do. Presidents and vice presidents of companies do, because they see the fact that it's limiting their growth, but it isn't really part of our vernacular. We don't talk about it a lot at the coffee shop or whatnot, but really that's ultimately what colleges and universities are here to do, right? To meet the needs. And we really need it. We're at the point where I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, the growth of the state will be stunted unless we figure out a way to meet the workforce needs of this growing, booming state.
You know, we wring our hands a lot, and we try and figure out what to do, and it's a bit of a roller coaster. You know, all of us remember the long years when our largest import, people would say, was our young people. But lots of people were leaving state in order to find jobs. And then the oil boom came, and then our workforce needs flipped. In other words, we found ourselves desperate to find people, and major employers like the University of Mary were trying to adapt, and it caused a lot of problem for us. In other words, how do you find qualified people? How are you able to afford them? All of these types of things. And now, in our present situation, we need to recalibrate, and we need to be nimble enough and thoughtful enough to think about how can we provide for the workforce needs of North Dakota in a responsible, progressive, thoughtful, ahead of the ball kind of way, for years going out, no matter what happens with energy or agriculture. You see what I mean? In other words, we know that those are going to be staples of our economy moving forward, but we don't know the specifics of the dynamics around them. And so we need to do our best to make sure that we're preparing a diversified workforce who is deeply dedicated to the culture, the ethos of North Dakota, young people who are committed to stay here and make a go of it, who want to raise their families here, who love this place, and who want to contribute to their communities. And so we need to think about that, and that's one of the ways that we're doing it here at the university. We realized that we needed an engineering program, that we needed to prepare engineers, and so that's one of the reasons why we decided to launch that in concert with all of our many academic offerings. You know, we have more than 60 undergraduate majors, 14 master's programs, and 3 doctorates going on 4.
And Vision 2030, when the cherry's on top, when the ribbon's cut, when it's grand opening time, we've reached it, we've done it. What does it look like?
Well, it looks like a lot of things, and we don't have enough time left in the hour for me to tell you about all of them. But let me say this. The raison d'etre, to use a little French phrase, the reason of being of Vision 2030 is that we want to make sure that we're growing at a pace and in a way in which we're continuing to carry forward that vision of all those sisters we talked about at the top of the hour, those sisters who volunteered to come here to North Dakota because they thought that it was a place worthy of giving their lives to. And we want the University of Mary, the faculty and staff who are here, and the students whom we form, we want to give our lives in service to this place because we believe it's worth it. We have campuses all over the world. So we're in Rome, we're in Peru, we're in Arizona, we're in Kansas, we're in Montana, we're in Minnesota. But North Dakota is our home. This is where our heart is, and this is where the efforts of the University of Mary are centered. And so what 2030 looks like is new buildings, new programs, all of those things, and I could detail them one after another after another. Some of them will change between now and when I'm 55 years old, which is Vision 2030. That's the age I'll be when we hit 2030. A lot of those things will change, but what will stay the same is our unwavering commitment to make sure that we're looking out and we're doing what our sisters first did. We're meeting the needs of the people of our region, the needs that are cultural, academic, and religious for the people of this region and beyond, all the places we serve.
How is higher ed changing as it pertains to the technology side? You know, you don't see any marketing for a school without some mention of their online offerings or how they're doing. things online technology. I mean, will higher ed as we know it changed to an unrecognizable thing by, you know, a certain point? Is it evolving to that way, or is it just one more weight off of what you do?
Well, this is one of the problems with all of us, human beings I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about North Dakotans. We tend to approach our challenges in a binary kind of way, an either or. You know what I mean? And we can create false dichotomies. And so when we're gazing, for instance, at the perplexities around workforce and workforce development, we can tend to overcorrect in this way or that way. Higher ed is changing. There's no doubt about it. It's already changed. In other words, the ground has been shifting for some time. We were a leader. The University of Mary was a leader in adult and distance education at the beginning, when lots of places weren't willing to provide the type of education that was flexible in format for the working adult, weekends, evenings, to make sure that people can complete their bachelor's degree or get their master's degree while they're still raising a family, going to work, all of those things, going to church, engage with their communities, Lions Club and Rotary Club meetings, all those things that fill a busy life. When everybody else was saying, no, the traditional model is all we've got, that's all we're going to invest in, we were in, this is the early 90s.
Yes.
We were out ahead of the ball.
In the communities, using local business leaders and people that were well known.
And hiring them as professors to teach for us on the side because they had subject matter expertise. We were doing that. We have online offerings, obviously, now. But to say that education, higher education, is going to become unrecognizable, that might fall into the temptation to see things in a binary way. I think that the traditional model, in other words, the residential college model, is evolving. It's going to change. Our answer to that is not to say, well, let's just sell all our residence halls and become completely online. I don't think that that's the answer. Our answer is to say, you're on campus, which we've talked to you about before, that the infrastructure of higher education is wasteful, that to close down 1,000 beds, 1,500 beds, world-class dining centers, to close them down for a third or more of the year doesn't make any sense at all. And it doesn't serve the needs of students well. And so what we're saying is, yes, we're going to adapt in terms of adult and distance education. We're going to have vibrant online offerings, no doubt about it. We're also going to maintain what will be a perennial need, which is a sort of coming-of-age a coming-of-age experience for young people who can, at the age of 18, who can launch out into the world with the support of a meaningful community of peers and mentors, which is called a college or a university. But the way that that's done needs to be carefully examined to make sure that we're not being wasteful or entitled along the way. And that's what year-round campus is about. And so I think education is changing, but it's evolving in different ways, and we're not going to ever settle at the University of Mary for binary or simple either-or answers. We're going to do both, we're going to do all of it, and we're going to do it well.
And you're a private college, yet I see, hear, and read about your affordability. And, look at numbers where, the average cost and even, all the different things you're looking at, the debt load of the students after they're done, very competitive, a low price, lower than UND, and right about the, even with NDSU. How?
Well, what you're doing right now is you're holding in your hands the nicest thing that the federal government's ever done for me. You're holding the Department of Education's college scorecard. And what that does is it quantifies the actual cost of attendance. It does lots of things. And so it goes through all of the different colleges and universities who are in the database, and it says, how much does it really cost? Not what's the sticker price, but how much does it really cost a student? How much debt do they typically graduate with? What's their debt repayment rate? All of these different questions, which are important questions, we need to be transparent about them. And when you look up the University of Mary, we come out smelling like a rose. And the reason is, from the beginning, our sisters have always had a commitment to make sure that our education is affordable. And so we're, so far as I know, the most affordable Catholic college in America. And so in terms of private higher education, we're a great deal.
I should say so. And keeping that promise of the sisters from the great story you told us to open this program. Good to see you, sir, as always.
Wonderful to be with you, Scott. Exciting days here at the University of Mary.
The president of the University of Mary, Monsignor Shea, our guest on What's On Your Mind. One more segment to go. Don't go away.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Aubrey is here from Inner Office Furniture and Design, downtown Fargo. And we're talking about group settings in the office place. Aubrey, how can business leaders improve innovation in their companies with group settings?
Well, if a company would incorporate a group setting into their office landscape, this can help facilitate collaboration, and collaboration always improves innovation in a company. The big thing with collaboration or group settings is location. You need to make sure that they're intermixed among the workstations in your office environment. And we've found at Herman Miller, they have done research and have shown that 70% of collaboration happens at your desk or within close proximity to your desk. And so location is a big deal with having collaboration or group settings. In these collaboration areas, you need to make sure that you have visual display areas such as tack boards, whiteboards, or any technology as far as video technology so that many different activities can happen in a collaboration area. And lots of times people will get into a team meeting there, and it's great that they can co-create. They feel part of the team. It improves employees' connection, and they're more engaged in their work environment.
Makes sense. Group settings. To find out more, give the team a call at Inner Office Furniture and Design, downtown Fargo, or online at interofficefargo.com. That's interofficefargo.com. Call them at 232-3013.
Little ones are watching, learning, copying, mimicking, mirroring. They're developing their unique personalities based on what you do. When you make a choice to save energy, they will too. Be the lead they want to follow. Visit otpco.com/saveenergy to learn about available rebates. Ottertail Power Company.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
This is a good idea or not, but the first thing I do would be just to wipe out Obamacare completely, 100%, and get rid of the state lines, let the consumers and the market figure itself out. That'll create competition. Insurance companies will be competing for our business. I think that'll bring prices down. Just get rid of the state lines and somehow let the consumers determine what's going on. I don't think the federal government needs to be involved in my health care in any way, shape, or form. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Welcome others, by the way, at 800-228-0550. In our final segment, I asked a question earlier. whether you'd vote yes or whether you'd vote no for this. My take on it, you know, when Donald Trump's saying, hey, we need this vote for it, and enough wrangling, vote already, okay? And you have this round, you have a second round and a third round, and then you have the Senate to go. I'm just done back and forth on, you know, this is in and that's in. Say, okay, you've had the time, a lot of time. We've known for a long time Obamacare was a disaster. You better have it down, and it better work. So I say I'd vote yes right now. And I want enough members to vote yes, but if it's not what they told us it would be, then they're toast. And that's going to rub off on Donald Trump, and that's going to rub off on the Republican Congress. So the alternative is Obamacare. That's what it is. They're voting right now, today. That's what they're deciding. And that's what the president said today. You want Obamacare or do you want to change? Dave in Roseville, Minnesota. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Well, yes, I just want to say this, that we need to pass the President Trump's bill because that will give him leverage to be able to work with the insurance companies. When he became president, that gave him leverage to work with the automakers and such who decided that they would stay here instead of leaving this country. So pass this bill, get it through. It will give them pressure to be able to work with these health care providers, and we'll have a better health care provision. Thank you.
Get it right. And by the way, I agree. I'm not saying that people aren't saying there's improvements that can be made are wrong. I'm saying you pass the first tranche and you keep adding the improvements. Because, I mean, I don't think there's a perfect way to say, okay, they vote on it, it goes down, and, you know, now you're going to vote again in a week or 2 weeks. My understanding of the congressional calendar, with everything they have to do to keep the budget on track, tax reform right behind this and the other things they're going to do, they don't have a lot of options to delay this. So vote and fix. Get me the outcome. Let me judge you. Christian in Fargo, what do you say?
Good day, sir. Just want to throw out a little slice of logic, see if anybody takes a taste.
Okay.
When we started having automobiles and we could drive around and kill people with them, the government came in and said, by the law, the letter of the law, we all have to have insurance to drive. I think if they attach health insurance to the privilege of driving, see, in Great Britain they have socialized medicine, but nobody, very few people own their own car. They have mass transit is huge in that country. Mass transit in this country is, shall I say, not so huge. That's because we all want our freedom. We all want our freedom of having our own vehicle to drive. Well, if they attached health insurance to vehicle insurance, I think a lot more people would be willing to accept health insurance. If you had to have health insurance by law, like you have to have vehicle insurance by law to drive, because what's more important? Look at priorities. We need priority readjustment.
Didn't we try that with Obamacare, though, Christian?
Well, we passed it before we knew what was in it.
Right. I mean, you're suggesting, I guess, a different penalty, the whole driver's license thing versus a measly amount on the your tax.
I don't think you should be allowed to own a car until you have health insurance. You'd have a lot more people more willing to deal with whatever we have to deal with to have health insurance.
I appreciate the call, and I'll chew on that. Thank you. He wanted us to have a taste. If this is voted down, says a texter, the Democrats will never budge from here on out. There's another casualty to a no vote. I don't think they'll get anything done. I really don't. Scott, do you really think there will be a second or third round? Look at the past. Well, I know that Donald Trump has talked about a second and third round again and again. I trust Donald Trump to say, hey, if you're not doing what you said you were going to do, Congress, then you've got an opponent in me. Donald Trump changes all this equation. I get where people are a little jittery about whatever's been promised before. If they said this, I think Trump is the thing that should help you. I agree with you that nobody can know what is all in the health care bill, but also just passing it without knowing the full implications of how Obamacare got is how Obamacare got passed. Remember Nancy Pelosi? Pass it to find out what's in it. Also holding politicians accountable will work, but look at how long it took to get where we are today. 7 more years is too long for a lot of people. Tom in Fargo says, regarding the health care bill, I know that to make an omelet, you must break a few eggs. Let's get started. Well, that's a great way to end. Actually, the tally ended up a little more in favor of my plan than the others, but we started from a deficit, that's for sure. Well, we're out of time, my friends. Take a nap. It's a Friday. It's a weekend. Take a nap and make sure it's with my pillow. That great deal from Todd and I, right, Todd? Can't take a nap without my pillow.
Pillow's great, too, by the way.
God bless you, folks. Talking saunas today with Vince Webger from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. We talked a lot about the Hot Spring Spa. The hot tubs are the best. I have one. I own one. I don't have a sauna, and you've told me I should. Why?
Well, it's really a health and wellness device like no other. It does a lot of the same things that a hot tub does, but it does even more. For instance, it boosts your immune system. Every time you sit in a sauna, you get that natural runner's high because your body's releasing the natural endorphins. And that's why you come out of it feeling like Superman or Superwoman. You're really charged up. Your energy levels are high. And it's because of that that you don't, what we say, you don't need a flu shot. Your immune system is at an all-time high if you sit in a sauna on a regular basis.
And they're easy. Plug them in.
Yeah, if you got an outlet in the home, you have the number one product on the planet, as said by the Mayo Clinic for Health and Wellness.
Simple as that. Stop and see Vince and his team at a Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 location near you, Minot, Bismarck, Grand Forks, and Fargo 2.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind. I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink 3 or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.